Peace Toward Men of Goodwill, Part 1, Luke chapter 2, verse 14. The coming of the Messiah is a major theme of the Old Testament. It is constantly repeated throughout the pages of the Old Testament. Now, in the New Testament, we're told that it is the angels who have the privilege to announce the imminent coming of Christ. We read in the Gospel of Luke, in the Nativity account, the incident in which an angel makes this surprising revelation: I bring to you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This good news is for all mankind. And it is followed by another good news, that there is peace on earth. Today, by the Lord's grace, I would like to talk to you about peace. I would like to expound to you the message of peace of the angels as it is expressed in Luke chapter 2, verse 14. It is written there that a multitude of heavenly hosts praised God by saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased. Peace toward men with whom God is pleased. The background of this passage is familiar to all of you, I'm sure. It is the passage about the shepherds who are in the field, and they're watching over their flock by night. And suddenly, angels appear to them, because they have a message of great importance to say. Angels often appear on earth when there is an important message to announce on behalf of God. In fact, the very word angel in Greek also means messenger. And here, these messengers announce this important message. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 to 14. And the angel said to them, Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased. I will base my message on this last verse, verse 14. On earth peace among men with whom He is pleased. We are very familiar with these words. We hear them every year during the Christmas period. It is not a verse that is necessarily easy to expound because of the problem that I would like to point out to you. If you have a Bible that provides comments on the translation, you will read on your margin that verse 14 can also be translated by the sentence, On earth, peace, goodwill among men. That means to say that there are two ways of reading this text. And if there are two ways of reading this text, you can suspect that there is a problem of translation. The reason why we have two possible translations is because there is a difference of one letter in a sentence. The letter S, or sigma, if you want to use the Greek alphabet. And this is what creates the entire difference. Whether you decide for the presence or the absence of this letter S depends on which Greek manuscript you use to translate this verse. In some manuscripts of the Greek New Testament, the letter S is present, and in other manuscripts, it is not there. Remember that the Bible was originally transmitted down through the generations by hand until printing was invented in the 15th century. That means that for nearly 3,000 years, one person or a group of people would copy the original text of the Bible, and then it would be passed on to the next generation, who would then copy the text again by hand. You can well imagine all the work that is involved to copy the whole Bible by hand. And you can also see what problems are involved. Humanly speaking, it is virtually impossible for anyone to copy by hand a book as long as the Bible without making some mistakes. That's why sometimes we find some differences between the various manuscripts of the Bible that we have. Now, coming back to our verse in Luke chapter 2, verse 14, we have then a difference of one letter in the Greek, the letter sigma. And this affects the word that is translated in English by the word pleasure. The difference that it makes is that by adding on the letter sigma, you change a nominative into a genitive. And here I have to be somewhat technical, because I want you to understand exactly what is happening here when we try to translate the Luke chapter 2 verse 14. If it is a nominative, then you would have the reading goodwill among men, or man of goodwill. That is to say, the word explains the man. These men are people of goodwill. That's the translation that you will find if you have the New King James Version. But if we have a genitive, we are saying men of God's good pleasure. And we would read men with whom God is pleased. That is what we find in the New American Standard Version, for example. I have to say that this last reading is the preferred one for most scholars of our time. Now, which one is right? Or why would you decide for one or the other? The answer, in my opinion, is fairly simple. It doesn't really matter. Whether you decide for one translation or the other, it comes to exactly the same thing if you understand the principles of peace that I want to explain to you. You know, it is remarkable that in spite of these slight variations in the Greek manuscripts, these differences do not have the slightest effect upon theology. No doctrine of the Word of God is affected by these variations in copying. So what are these principles of peace that I just mentioned? There are three principles of peace that you must know as a Christian. For the remaining time of this message, of this lesson, I will show you the first principle. Then, in our next lesson, we will deal with the other two principles of peace. The first principle of peace is this: peace can never be separated from righteousness or holiness. If there's one thing that you should remember from this lesson today, it is the principle that peace can never be separated from righteousness. These two things, peace and righteousness, always go together. In other words, it means that where there is no righteousness, there will be no peace. Only where there is righteousness and holiness will there be peace. This is a spiritual and eternal principle of peace that is found throughout the whole Bible. When you understand this spiritual law, you will agree that understanding Luke chapter 2 verse 14, whether with a sigma or no sigma, whether it is a genitive or nominative, it makes no difference at all. The meaning is exactly the same. You see, the only kind of persons in whom God takes pleasure are righteous people. So whether you say men of goodwill or men in whom God takes pleasure, it makes no difference at all. Because if they are men of goodwill, then they are men of righteousness. And if they are men in whom God takes pleasure, then they are also men of righteousness. Either way, the meaning is exactly the same, because God has pleasure only in people who are righteous. This means that God does not have pleasure in sin and in those who enjoy sinning. God does not have pleasure in those who are wicked. The important word to notice is pleasure. We're not talking about love. The word here is pleasure. God may love a sinner, but he certainly does not have pleasure in his being a sinner. This word pleasure in the Bible is generally reserved for the Lord Jesus, to say that God is pleased with Jesus. It is used, for example, at the Lord's baptism in Matthew chapter 3 verse 17, when God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." It is used again at the Lord's transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17 verse 5, where God said exactly the same thing, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." God is pleased with Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the righteous one. In fact, it becomes a title of the Lord Jesus in 1 John chapter 2 verse 1, where he's called Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus lived spotless in this world as far as sin is concerned. He is the Holy One of God. The Lord Jesus said, "I always do those things that please my Father." John chapter 8 verse 29. His whole life was lived in such a way as to please the Father, and the Father was well pleased. To live a life of holiness means to live a life that is pleasing to God, a life lived in obedience to Him and in accordance with His will. When you live a life like this, you become pleasing to God, a man of God's good pleasure. That's the meaning of these words in Luke chapter 2 verse 14. Peace on earth to those in whom God is pleased, men and women of God's good pleasure. You will be able to enjoy peace in all its richness when you live a life that is pleasing to God, living in His way and walking in His path. Peace is not something unconditional that you automatically get once you're baptized. Baptism is like walking in through the kingdom of God. You don't just stand inside the door. You have to move. You have to live, by God's power, the life of a subject of the kingdom of God. And then peace will come. Make it your aim in life to say, like Jesus, I will live a life that is always pleasing to Him. I have come to do Your will, O God. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 9. Such person is filled with deep spiritual peace, because where there is holiness, there is peace. In the Bible, whether it is in the New Testament or in the Old Testament, you will find peace and holiness always joined together. You cannot pull them apart. If you want peace, you have to have holiness. If you have holiness, you will have peace. Let's look at some references. Take for example Hebrews chapter 12 verse 14. Pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Without holiness, you shall not see God, and without peace, you shall not see God either. Peace and holiness are locked together. Or consider 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 22. This verse is especially addressed to young people who, because of certain natural inclinations, may be careless and result in losing their peace. So in this verse, Paul says to Timothy, "Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Notice again the joining of righteousness at the beginning of this list and peace at the end of this list of four virtues. Righteousness and peace always come together, and in between we have faith and love. So pursue these four virtues with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. If we didn't understand what righteousness is, Paul makes it very plain to us. It is a pure heart. This righteousness that Paul is talking about is the righteousness that comes out of a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew 5 verse 8. But without holiness, without this purity of the heart, no man shall see God. Remember Hebrews chapter 12 verse 14. It is the pure in heart, the righteous, who shall see God. But how do we get this holiness, this righteousness? Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23, and notice again this amazing conjunction of peace and righteousness. This is what we read. May the God of peace — God is the God of peace because He is the God of holiness — may the God of peace sanctify you completely. To sanctify means to make holy. It is God who makes us holy. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blameless is just another term of Paul for righteous, pure in heart, without blemish, spotless, blameless. These are just different expressions for righteousness and holiness. So Paul is saying that it is the God of peace who provides the power to make us holy, so that we will be found blameless, righteous, at the second coming of Christ. Now it is possible for us to hinder this process of sanctification, because any work of God in us requires our collaboration. And the major hindrance to our sanctification is the presence of sin in our lives. If there is sin in our lives, God will not be pleased with us. He will not be pleased with us if we desire evil, if we love sin. This is the warning that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Let me read to you that verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. It says in that verse that with most of them, that is the Jews who were saved out of Egypt and who passed through the Red Sea, with most of them, God was not well pleased. This word pleased is exactly the same word that we have in Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Peace to man in whom God is pleased. Why was God not pleased with them, the chosen people of God? Because they desired evil. That's what the following verse tells us. Verse 6. These things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. They lusted after evil things. They desired evil, and therefore God was not pleased with them. You see, evil and peace cannot go together. Sin and peace just can't go together. That is a fundamental spiritual law that I want you to understand and remember. Only so will you understand the message of the angels in Luke chapter 2, verse 14. The angels didn't just say, as we usually read on Christmas cards, peace on earth, but peace on earth to men of goodwill, or to men in whom God is well pleased, or to men in whom God takes pleasure. Why? Because these men love righteousness. Do you know what happened to those Israelites in the wilderness with whom God was not pleased? Just read on 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and you will see the tragedy that happened. They all perished in the wilderness. Some were destroyed by the serpents. Others were destroyed by the destroyer. Destruction came upon them. And don't say to yourself that this is Old Testament stuff that doesn't apply to us. Paul says in that same passage, these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things. In other words, these things were written for our warning, so that we do not desire evil things as they did. Paul was talking to the Corinthian Christians, and he's talking to us too. Understand this clearly. Even if you're righteous now, but if out of your own choice you draw back from your righteousness in Christ, if you decide to draw back from purity of heart, God will not be pleased with you. And I cannot guarantee that He will not do the same as He did with the Israelites in the wilderness. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38 and 39, we have these words about God not being pleased with those who walk away from righteousness. It says, "But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, that is, if he draws back from righteousness, my soul has no pleasure in him." But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of our soul. Here the writer to the Hebrews speaks of two kinds of believers with regard to faithfulness, two kinds of righteous ones. The Christian whose faith remains committed to God until the end will have his soul preserved. But a Christian whose faith shrinks back, draws back from righteousness, and turns away from God will displease God. And in the end for such a person, if there's no change, is destruction. These people are those who draw back to perdition, to destruction, just as the Israelites were destroyed in the wilderness. So this is the clear teaching of the scriptures. Evil and peace cannot go together. That is why in Isaiah chapter 57 verse 21, God says that there is no peace for the wicked. The wicked cannot find peace anywhere on earth or in heaven or under the earth. To those who do not love righteousness, there is no peace. You see that this same principle is already there when you go back to the Old Testament. Read, for example, Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17. The work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Peace and righteousness are constantly linked together. Now listen to these beautiful words in Psalm 85 verse 10. Righteousness and peace have kissed together. In the scriptures, righteousness and peace are so closely united that they are said here to have kissed together. You just can't take them apart. Finally, let me read to you Isaiah 59 verse 8. The way of peace they have not known. Why? Because there's no justice in their ways. If the world wants to find peace, there's no other way than to walk on the path of justice, of righteousness. And this righteousness is found only in Christ, who is our righteousness. So understand deeply this fundamental principle, that in the spiritual world, peace and righteousness cannot be separated. Where there is holiness, there is peace. Where there is sin, there is turmoil and restlessness. This coming Christmas, don't just pray peace on earth, but peace on earth to those in whom God is pleased. And God is pleased only with people who are righteous. Those are the people who will have peace. This is the message of the angels.